Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Wow, we are good. We're good to go. We're going to tell you more. I hope you guys are ready to go. Are you guys ready to go this morning? Yes. We're going all the way to a place called Persia, which would be like modern-day Iran. But today we're going back in time, and we're going to be talking about some things. It's going to be very important. It's going to be very awesome. And it's going to be powerful. I felt like I needed to say this before I started, and this is for somebody in the room. You get that Jesus is important. You get that Jesus should be the first thing in your life. But what the thing is when you come to believe in him, Jesus is your life. He is your life. That's your utmost concern from now on. He is your life. Your life revolves around him. He doesn't revolve around you. You revolve around him. So what he says you do, what he asks you, you say, yes, I'm going to do that. And you'll find when you say yes to his asking, your life will go places, you'll do things you never even dreamed or imagined you'd ever do. It may not always be the safest place, but is where you need to be. Amen. Don't let the circumstances or what you think might happen hinder you from going into all that he has for you. Jesus is your life. Amen. Ooh, with that, Father God, we are thanking you this morning that we get to be here today. And I just pray right now, Father God, that you bring energy today, Father God, that you just pump us up in you because we just want to be excited to be in you, with you. We want to hear your word today. And not only that, we want to not just hear it, but we want to be doers of the word also, Father God. We don't want to just hear your word and do nothing. We want to hear your word and have it change our lives so we can go out and change the world. If it stops in this room, it's not done its purpose. It's not going to stop because it says his word does not return void. And if it's returning void, it's not his. Whoa. Ooh. No, it should not end here. This is just the beginning. Amen. This is just the beginning. So bless it this morning, Father God, and we thank you so much for an opportunity to be with you and in you and have your way with us. And may God, you be more famous at the end of this. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So, if you guys have your word, and I know you do, right? Open it to Esther chapter 1. We're going all the way back. Today's message, as we continue the series, Everyday Hunger, with the key verse, give us this day our daily bread. Give, God, serve us our bread today. Today's message, you might want to write this down because I think it's pretty cool, is a royal servant. A royal servant. Everyday hunger equals everyday serving. Everyday hunger, everyday serving. And our key verse for today is Esther chapter 4, at the end of verse 14, where it says, and who knows whether you have not attained, have you not gotten, have you not received royalty for what? For such a time as this. For such a time as this. And you may be thinking to yourself, Caleb, Pastor Caleb, what does it have to do with serving? She was the queen. What does this have to do with serving? She was royalty, and you are royalty if you are in Christ Jesus. You are royalty. And our position in him does not give us the right to let the world pass us by. He says, in my kingdom, you serve. And boy, are we serving. We serve because we serve an awesome God who came and served us when we were at our lowest point, when we were at our worst. He served. So we're looking at the life of Esther today. We're going to see some things. Esther was a young woman who served a great God, who saved a nation. Saved a nation. She was young, not that young, but she was young. She was a minority. Not only was she a minority, she was from a people group that was the least of the least in an area where she was brought because her ancestors had been beaten in battle. Now she's in exile. So she's not only a minority, she's a minority group from a place that her, the nation that she's in, conquered. And she was nobody special as the world saw her. Nobody special. As we look at her life, we will see how great and honored it is to serve the Lord with all that we are. Like Esther, we are royalty. We were made for such a time as this, and it is a great privilege to serve the Lord in any way. And this is an awesome thing to grasp, because when we do from then on out, whatever he asks you to do, whatever you get to do in the Lord will be seen as a gift and not as a work. It'll be seen as a privilege to scrub toilets. It'll be seen as a privilege to go out into the streets and pick up trash. It'll be seen as a privilege to vacuum the sanctuary floor. It'll be seen as a privilege and a gift and not as a work, because we do it for him. Because I'm serving from a place of royalty. And when you grasp that, when you see that with all your heart, I am royalty. Now I can serve properly. It is a gift. Why do we serve? First and foremost, we serve because we're serving him. Remember who he is, and it becomes a response of love and thankfulness. We don't do it to be blessed. We serve with a grateful heart because we are blessed already. We're in a place of blessing. We are in a place of being in royalty. We are there already. I'm not doing it to get from God. I'm doing it because I already have from God. And it's an expression of what I have already. So then when I serve, I'm like, I'm doing this so I can get love of God. No, 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 no. I'm doing this because I am loved by God. Yes. Know what else is really cool about it too? Because we were created for it. We were created to serve the Lord. It says in Ephesians 2:10, we were created in who? Christ Jesus. To do what? To do good works. You were created to do good things in God. When he saw you, when he was making you up and knitting you in your mother's womb, he knew the good things that you would do. You were created for this. You were created for such a time as this. Don't waste it. We have been given much. He who has been given much, much will be required. That one hit me hard. That's Luke 12, verse 48. I'm going to say it again. Who has been given much, much will be required. We serve not only to please God, which we already do, but we get to do it so we can serve others as well. We serve God because he loves us already. But he wants us to go out into the world to serve those around us. So when we do serve, people will be like, why are you serving that person so good with an attitude of gratefulness? Why are you doing this? So when they ask us why we do it, we can say, because of him, because of all he's done. So he gets all the glory. So when they ask us, we can touch them and teach them about them, about him, wherever you're at. And I promise you, when your actions reflect what's in your heart because of what he has done for you on the cross, they will want what you have, and they'll want to know where you got it from. It's so much bigger than what we think. When we do anything, it is to the glory of God. Whatever you do, you work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Whatever God is asking you to do, do it to his glory, because we're doing it for him. And this one was pretty hard on me too. There will be a harvest if we continue. There will be a harvest if we continue. It says in Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary in doing good. Because it's going to happen sometime where you're doing something over and over again and you're like, God, does this even mean anything? Does anybody even see what I'm doing? I'm the only one in this room. I'm the only one that you see me do this. Maybe I should just give up because it doesn't seem to amount to anything. It says here, it tells us, it admonishes us, do not grow weary in doing good. Why? Here's the promise. For in due season, at the right time, we will reap if we do not give up. We will reap if we do not give up. Whatever's in your mind saying, you should stop, nobody cares. Do not give up. For in the right and proper time, you will have a reward from him. You will reap. Okay. That was cool. But now, it's going to get even awesomer. That's a word. I just made it up. I'm telling you, awesomer is cool. If you guys already haven't done it, but if you have, I know you did, go to the first book, the first chapter of Esther. We're going to look at her life now, and we're going to see some things. And we're going to start at verse 1 here in a second. As we look at the book of Esther, we see a person who was unaware of what was about to happen to her. Okay. Here we go. Waiting on you, Leah. Okay, here we go. Now it took place in the days of Ahasuerus, I know I got that word right about 1,000 times until just now. But his Greek name was Xerxes, who reigned from India to Ethiopia, over 120 provinces. So that's a long way, dudes. That's from India to Ethiopia. That's a big area. In the days of the king, he sat in his royal throne, which is in the citadel of Susa. That's in modern-day Iran. Back then it was called Persia. In the third year of his reign, he gave a great banquet for all his priests and attendants, the army officers of Persia and Media, the nobles, the princes of his province, being in his presence. He displayed the riches of his royal glory and the splendor of his great majesty for many days. How many days, Pastor Caleb? 180 days. He did it for a long time. I was going to figure out the math, but it's hard for me to do long division. I don't know how many months 180 days is, but it's a couple months. 6 months. When those days were complete, at the end of those 180 days, know what he did? He gave another banquet lasting how many days? 7 days. And who for this time? It's for the people who were present at the citadel in Susa. That's a week. From the greatest to the least in the court of the garden of his king's palace. There was a whole bunch of things there. It looked awesome. We're going down, down, down. And his wife, Queen Vashti, was doing the same thing for the women in her palace. But after a while, it says, on the seventh day, when he was merry with wine, he was drunk. That's just the nice way of saying it. But yeah, he was feeling the feels with that one. And he says, bro, you know, like his party is going. It's like, doo, 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 being awesome. Then he's like, dudes, guess what? Let me bring my wife. Call up my wife, Queen Vashti, bring her in. You know why? Because she was beautiful. And he wanted everybody to see her. He wanted to brag on his wife. But guess what, dudes? She said, no. No. The important thing is, if you look back at who King Ahasuerus was, King Xerxes was, and the power in his great reign, that's why they talk about it. That's why they tell how big his kingdom was. He was the most powerful man in the natural at that time. His kingdom was so vast. And yet his wife had the gall to tell him no. No. This infuriated him. Because you didn't tell the king no. And you especially didn't tell Xerxes no, because he's the most powerful guy. But his wife said no. And later on, and as it goes down, he consults with his people and they say, you got a decree that she could never come before you, because if you allow her to, they'll have problems throughout the whole kingdom. So that was decreed. She cannot come before the king anymore. Now we're getting into who's going to be the next queen. Queen Esther. So what they decided to do, after they proclaimed that Vashti couldn't come before him anymore, he still needed a wife. He still needed a queen. So they said, okay, you know what, king, because you're the king, why don't we gather the virgins, the pretty ones, from all the provinces? So there are 127 provinces, so there's at least 127 women, but probably even more than that. So he's like, you know, that's, yeah. That's a lot of women. Beautiful young virgins besought for the king. So he appointed overseers to go do this, to get the beautiful ones and bring them to them. Esther was in a place right here where she didn't know what God was about to do. God was forming and shaping a situation that's leading to something. As we read down, as we go down further, we find that Esther, Hadassah at this time, was brought into the harem, brought into the fold to be one of these people who's going to, you know, could be future queen. And we find out that after a year of purification, after a year of beautification, I'm just kind of doing this to hurry up because we're running late on time. I haven't even gotten to my point yet. we're good. This is cool in here today. Yeah. We find that she gets chosen by the king and she finds favor with the people around her, not only the king, but the people who are getting her beautified, getting her ready. And all that to say, as we look at Esther's life, into this point, she didn't know she was going to be used because it was impossible, because there was already a queen. And God, knowing that something in the future would happen, started doing things in the past to get that all set up so when it does happen in the future, Esther was in the right place at the right time. God took an impossible situation and made it possible. Esther was chosen from however many women that happened to be, and they're not ugly or anything. They were all beautiful women. But God showed favor on her. What? I didn't mean it in a bad way. I'm just saying that out of the whole thing, they were the most beautiful of the beautiful. And yet, God chose her. Like her, we may not have been aware or had been thinking of God, how God would use us. But he's raising us up. He's raising us up. So now she's a queen. She's in this position now where she doesn't have to do anything anymore. I mean, out of anybody in the thing, she's the most protected. She's the queen. The king's even going to protect her. The whole kingdom is for her. But yet she serves. It goes on to say, just for time's sake, if you didn't know the story, there's a guy who's going to show up. So I asked you guys to read this story this week, the book of Esther. There's going to be a guy named Haman. And not only that, this week is Purim, which is a holiday based off of this book, which happened Thursday night into Friday. And if we were really getting into it, I'd read the story of what Haman did, and we'd all say, Haman, when he said it. But he sets out to kill all the Jews, and you'll have to read why he says that and why he's doing that and why it's important. But to keep the Jews alive, God uses Esther. She's going to be used as a servant to save a nation. Sometimes you'll be surprised about what you've been asked to do by God. You may think it's impossible. You never saw the situation coming, but he's raising you up. Sometimes the Lord can use small things like being asked to clean or watch little kids or being faithful at your job, using the small things. But those things, what we think are little, God can use because they're important to him. And you'll never know sometimes what he's going to do in and through you by it. As we saw in the life of Esther, which I didn't really all get to all to it, but she was used by God to save a nation. And as we see in her life, we too can be used by him to save a nation. Because nothing he's asked us to do is too small. Nothing that he's asked you to do is small. And sometimes that's a difficult thing to see when you are doing the small things, when you don't think anybody's watching you or anybody's seeing you. And you can fall into that place where it's like, oh, I don't know if God or anybody's seeing me. I never seem to move up in the world. I never seems to be anything. Don't be surprised at how quick God does something in your life to show you how important it is in the area that you served because you said yes to it. Amen. God is using everything for his good, and he's being glorified in it. But why don't we serve? Why do we choose to say no instead of saying yes? One, it's easy. I know what I have to do, and I don't want to do it. It's hard. There's going to be some things that God wants you to do and serve Him, but it's not going to be easy. Another thing is, we don't think we're of worth or any value. We think we're just nobody. We're just a justa. I'm just somebody. We're not worthy of it. This is where I was going to break out my Fiddler on the Roof impression. I was going to bring it, Pastor Tom, but I want to say, I'm going to bring it. See, there's this famous part in The Fiddler on the Roof where the oldest daughter falls in love with the tailor of the town. His name is Maudle. And Maudle loves the oldest daughter, and she's getting sold, basically, to the butcher at this time. And before she goes, the tailor finally works up his courage to go to Tevye and say, "You know, I know who could be your daughter's husband. I know who it could be." And Tevye's like, who could it be, Maudle?" And he goes, "Me, myself. I." "You, yourself? But you're just the poor tailor." "I know, Tevye. I'm just the poor tailor." "No, it can't be you. You're kidding. You're just the poor tailor." Then Maudle finally steps up and says, "I know I'm just a poor tailor, but even tailors have the right to be happy." How does this have to do with serving? You're not just a poor tailor. In God's eyes, you're royalty. Don't let the position of your life determine the outcome of what God has for you. She was just a poor Jewish girl, a minority in a place that nobody cared about her, Esther. But God saw her and used her to save a nation. Don't let your position determine how God is going to use you because you stopped it. He's not stopping it. He's asking you to say yes. Will you say yes to what He's asked you to do? But then you say, "I'm too busy." No, you're not busy enough for this. You don't like the thing that you want. He wants you to do. We think, no, this is the opposite. This is where people in church leadership tend to fall into sometimes. We think we're above it. "I'm not going to clean the toilets. I'm the pastor around here. I'm not going to vacuum the floors. I'm the pastor around here." No, we're not above it. We don't like the people that we're going to serve. Or we're jealous of the person in the position we want to serve in. We're waiting for something big, and we overlook being faithful in the present of what God has for you right now. I promise you, whatever God has for you is big. And when you look over it over the span of your life, you will see that He has great and mighty things for you. But sometimes it's the small things that go up to the bigger things. I preach here today, but 15 years ago, I was taking out the trash. I was asked, "Caleb, can you take out the trash?"
And you still do.
And I still do. It's the small things. When we're faithful in the small things, He'll make us faithful in the big things. So as I close here today, I wish I could have got more into it, but know as you serve, you're not just serving a somebody, you're serving Jesus. Not to get something from Him, but because you already have. We serve because others are looking at us and how our lives have been changed, and they'll want to know how it's been changed. And there's a bigger picture that God has for you. And I promise He will show you if you ask Him. He says if you ask Him, He will show you great and mighty things. I promise you. Jesus said, "It is our greatness is shown in how we serve others, even the least of these." Even in the least of these. Not only the least of these, but can we serve the people who treat us badly? Who say the worst of things about us? and you still serve him. Let that sit just for a second, because it is sometimes easy to say that now when we're not facing the confrontation that we know we will be facing this weekend at work, or this week. Yes, I can serve them. I can serve them. But when it comes right down to it, and they cut you to the quick, they offend you, are you able to serve them with such gratefulness and attitude that they see what you have and want it? God, may it never be. Thank you, Jesus. You can all rise real quick. What I want you guys to think about this week is to be excited about serving God in whatever way he asks you to the fullest extent that you know how to do. You may not understand all he's asking you to do, but just to be faithful to say to God, I have no idea what you're saying to me, but as best as I know, this is what I think it is, and I'm going to serve with my whole heart. Not because I think I'm going to gain your love from it, it's because I'm already standing in your love. I'm already standing righteous because of who you are and what you did on the cross. This is not to earn anything. This is not to make it so other people... It's because we love him. And to know and to serve with grateful hearts, knowing that there's a bigger thing happening in the end. Who knows that you were set to be royalty for such a time is this. Just think of the awesome opportunity you have right now. Don't waste your life. Serve with all your heart. Go after what God has for you with a passion. Nothing is too small because nothing is too big. He has got great things for you. Don't let anything stop you from what he has for you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Thank you, Lord, that you are more famous now than when we started today. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, and he is awesome, and he is great. And no matter where you're at, he loves you. If you call upon his name, he said he would save you. If you call upon his name, he loves you. He's got great plans for you. He's got great things for you to do. He's great, awesome adventures for you to do. Our lives should not be boring. Our lives should be exciting all the time because of what he is doing. And I just bless you guys this week with a hunger to serve, a hunger to find out where God wants you to serve, a hunger to say, God, whatever you want from me, I am willing to do. And everything that has been hindering me in the past, please take it away, Father God, so I can walk boldly into the future with you. And I can serve you with all of my heart. And God, let me lay it down, and let us lay it down, all the things that so easily encumbers us. And let us serve God with everything, because he is worthy of it all. Just bless you guys with that. Have an awesome week. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.